On Sunday, a shooter killed four people at a Mormon church in Grand Blanc, Michigan. By Wednesday, a fundraiser for the shooter's family, started by a Latter-day Saint with no connection to Grand Blanc, had raised more than $209,000. I hope you feel the love being sent your way and all the prayers being prayed for your family, said a donor identified as Ashley on the Give, Send, Go platform, who gave $15. Hope this little bit helps your grieving family and that God heals all of our hearts, wrote LDS guy who chipped in $10. Sending love and tender mercies your way as you navigate this loss. We love you. We are all in this together, wrote an anonymous giver of $100. Even amid the turmoil of the headlines, love never fails. It's Thursday, October 2nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Israel ordered Palestinians to leave Gaza City. The Defense Ministry said on Wednesday that anyone who stays will be considered a militant supporter and face the full force of Israel's latest offensive. At least 16 Palestinians were killed across the Gaza Strip, according to local hospitals, as Hamas weighed a new proposal from U.S. President Donald Trump aimed at ending the war. Around 400,000 Palestinians have fled famine-stricken Gaza City in recent weeks, but hundreds of thousands remain. President Trump signed an executive order to defend Qatar. It vows to use all measures, including U.S. military action, to defend the energy-rich nation, though it remains unclear just what weight the pledge will carry. The text of the order appears to be another measure by Mr. Trump to assure the Qataris following Israel's surprise attack on the country targeting Hamas leaders. Also, Gen Z protests have escalated in Morocco, with demonstrators demanding better education and health care and clashing with police. The protests were organized online by a loosely formed anonymous youth group calling itself Gen Z 212, using platforms including TikTok, Instagram, and the gaming application Discord. The government issued a statement expressing willingness to engage in dialogue with youth within institutions and public spaces to find realistic solutions. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Portland, Oregon is the latest city where President Donald Trump is activating National Guard troops for novel use in a fight against crime and illegal immigration. Our reporter takes a big-picture look at how the U.S. government has directed the National Guard this year. Sarah Matusik reports for the Monitor. Throughout the war in Ukraine, Russia has employed scorched earth tactics. Now, Ukrainian civilians near the long front lines are being forced to flee an intensified bombing and drone strike campaign evoking bees let loose from a beehive. Scott Peterson reports from Pavlorod and Dobropila, Ukraine, for the Monitor. President Gustavo Petro is rushing to make Colombia green. But his energy agenda highlights the messy trade-offs called for when fossil fuels remain key to the economy. Contributor Mia Hyres Dahl reports from Yopal, Colombia, for the Monitor. Violence has dogged Haiti for generations. A former businessman is working to build social bridges toward peace. Contributor Linnea Ferrum reports from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, for the Monitor. Our photographer was attracted to Lindisfarne, England, also known as Holy Island, because it defies modern convenience. Amid a spectacular photo shoot, the care and concern of a thoughtful cab driver stood out to her. Riley Robinson reports from Lindisfarne, England, for the Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board. For Urban Strife, a choice between soldiers or police. When a police officer in the United States yells, "Cover me," to colleagues, that means to be prepared to shoot, if necessary. A member of the U.S. military, however, could interpret those same words as a call to unleash lethal firepower. This distinction is just one among many complexities of engaging combat-ready troops to fight crime or civilian unrest domestically. Fundamental differences in the roles and culture of policing and warfare can create logistical and legal troubles. Police officers are taught to use time, distance, and de-escalation, a former Los Angeles Police Department chief wrote in the New York Times in June, when 4,000 National Guard troops were deployed to Los Angeles to protect immigration officers from protesters. Military training, equipment, and tactics are optimized for warfare, not for safeguarding civil liberties or managing peaceful protest, he observed. The National Guard is often deployed by governors to assist after natural disasters. It has been used only sparingly by presidents to safeguard civil rights activists in the 1960s, for example, or to help quell riots in Los Angeles in 1992. When it comes to investigating and addressing crime, the National Review writes, the National Guard isn't an adequate substitute for the police. It cannot arrest individuals, collect evidence, or prepare a case for prosecution, and its use is expensive. However, in August, President Donald Trump activated the Guard in Washington, D.C. to combat crime that he claimed was out of control. Statistics showed violent offenses there were at their lowest in 30 years. Now, troops are being deployed to Memphis, Tennessee, and to Portland, Oregon, where residents and city officials dispute White House depictions of anarchy and radical left terrorism. Chicago appears to be next on the list. In remarks Tuesday to senior officers of the armed forces, Mr. Trump suggested using dangerous cities as training grounds for our military. His actions and descriptions are testing the perception of urban communities and of law enforcement. They may also test the robustness of the nearly 150-year-old Posse Comitatus Act, which limits the use of federal troops on American soil. Meanwhile, a group of faith leaders in Washington is pushing the conversation beyond policy and politics. They have called on political and civic leaders to work together in a spirit of dignity and respect so that safety, justice, and compassion prevail. Where the White House may see a lawless wasteland, their statement indicates, we see fellow human beings, each made in the image of God. Fighting crime or unrest does not always need maximum force. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we can experience greater stability in all aspects of our lives by understanding God as the creator and maintainer of all that is real. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.